Well, good day, everybody. We're so glad to be with you. I know that a lot of us are in a lot of different time zones, so I always just say good day. So if you're in a different time zone watching the webinar live, or whether you re-watch it off of our website later, whenever you're watching it, I just hope you're having a great day. I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about today, because I believe this with all my heart, that every one of us had God plant something unique in us when He created us. Psalm 139, David said this, he said, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and every day of my life was written in your book before one of them came to be." And what David was saying is, when God created me, He created me to have a story created from my life, a meaningful story, a story that would change lots of lives, a story that would mean a lot to a lot of people. And sometimes in the day of entertainment that you and I are in, man, they want to make somebody the star, they want to make somebody this, but hey, there's only one LeBron James, there's only one Michael Jordan. But you know, if any superstar took the basketball on his own and went out on the court, he'd get crushed. Any quarterback dropped back without an offensive line, he'd get killed. And God's kingdom takes all of us discovering our significance. And today we're going to have a dear, dear friend of mine and a pastor that I admire so, so much talk to us. And he's going to help us think like a leader, the kind of leader that brings out the significance that's in the heart of every person. You know, this last week I was actually gone. I was in Maine. I preach here 40 Sundays a year, but I'm blessed to have sons who can do things too. So I'm going out every once in a while now. And man, I had a good time. Ate way too much lobster, ate way too much jam chowder. And I was up in Maine, on the coast of Maine, then went inland hoping to see a moose. Didn't see one. But when I was there, we were with Matt and Darcy Ward, who are doing such an amazing job. And to see what their church means to their people, to their smaller part of our country, it's, you know, there aren't a lot of churches with that kind of significant impact. In fact, a local Bible school asked him to be the president. So he's the president of a Bible school now. And we had such a wonderful time. Just were refreshed in the vision of significant church. What'll happen if every pastor embraces his significance and nurtures his significance? What'll happen if every believer embraces their significance and nurtures their significance? I'll tell you what'll happen. This world will be touched in a huge way with the presence of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to talking about that today. Pat Murray, thank you for being with us, buddy. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm honored to be a part of this day. It's a beautiful time, anytime I can be close to you.
Well, that's how I feel. And I wish I was where you are, because it's 80 degrees. So Dr. Murray's in a lot more pleasant weather. We're still a little hot down here in Texas, but we love Texas. We're glad to be in Texas. And Pat, it's just so great to have you with us. We're going to be talking today about thinking like a leader, and we're going to welcome some people here in just a minute, but just give us a little taste of where we're going to be going today.
You know, I've said this for a long time, that there's some people that as soon as you walk in the room with them, you realize you're in the room with somebody that's a real leader. A born leader, if you will. And some organizations are just out there waiting for someone with those kind of gifts to venture in the door and just lead them, because they have a mind for process, a natural propensity for it. And so there are those kinds of people. And a quote from William Shakespeare actually comes to mind. And William Shakespeare said that some are born great, some achieve greatness, but some have greatness thrust upon them. Yeah. And it's more of a cause on the inside of them that causes them to rise into a place of leadership. And that may be the case for a lot of men and women who enter into a ministry capacity of some kind. I don't think I chose pastoring. I think pastoring chose me. So I think maybe there's a good lead in to where we're going today.
Yeah, I think that's a great lead in. And I think about the book Good to Great, how the best leaders aren't always even the born leaders, right? They're not the people right that can ride in and take control naturally. But to be a good leader, you have to be in touch with what's going on in an environment. You have to get out in front of it, and you have to do things that influence these people's lives for better, because they're on your heart and they're in your prayer life. And the Holy Spirit's the best leader I know. And lives on the inside of us. So we can be thankful for that. Before we get started, I want to welcome some really special people. This blessed my heart so much this last week. We've had a number of people who become local connectors. And if you wonder what that means, if you're watching today, it means that they're going to start helping pastors come out of isolation and come into empowerment. I love to tell this story that when Tamara and I were dating, you know, there's just kind of a feeling in the air, man, you're sharp. I'm excited about what our life's going to become. But then, you know, after we were married a little while, I could tell she wanted me to get sharper. And that's what these webinars are about. That's what this time together is about. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And as iron sharpens iron, so we're to sharpen each other. So we do it with the webinars. But these people that decide to be local connectors, they're willing to gather pastors. They're willing to help other pastors grow. They're willing to start building relationships with pastors. So we're so thrilled. I want to welcome some of them to the network today. Vicki Bays from Victorious Life Worship Center in New Boston, Ohio. Jim Cernero from Certain Sound Church International from Georgetown, Texas. Eric Earhart from Upper Room Assembly in Gatesville, North Carolina. Daniel Guerrero from United Christian House of Prayer in Austin, Texas. David Hayner from New Life Church and Ministry Center in Herkimer, New York. Brian Hipp from Spirit of Life Church in Petersburg, West Virginia. Chip Howington, Flat Rock Worship Center. And we're so grateful for all these people. Lance Palmer from the River International Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Roger Parks from Promised Land Church, Jackson, Ohio. Tom Pelegi from Calvary Gospel Church in New York Mills, New York. Murray Shanu from Faith Builders International, Kettle Point, Canada. Love Canada. Tim Shuttlesworth, Calvary Temple, Fairmont, Virginia. Joe Turner, Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God in Cary, Ohio. So all these people are now investing in the future of churches in smaller counties, having great churches. They're investing in pastors and their families being resourced and helped. So we want to thank all of those guys, first of all. And then, you know, we just want to invite people to come on board. Man, when I was in Maine on purpose, I drove 3 hours to get to where Matt was because I just wanted to go through small town after small town. And I wanted to let Jesus speak to my heart. I wanted to feel his heart for the cities and towns of our country. And there's a lot of work to do and there's a lot of fun to be had. We're going to do it together. Amen. Dr. Pat.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's talk about thinking like a leader and helping us think in the situation that we're in, that maybe there's a bigger leader inside us than what we know.
Well, you know, I think that's right. And, you know, the Significant Church Network is such a tremendous tool to be able to supply training, coaching, and community around leadership issues that are germane to everybody that's watching right now. And all of us want to do what we do better. We want to become better leaders, no doubt about that. But the way that a leader thinks is especially in a kingdom leadership component, is a little bit different than just your average leadership. It's not just leadership principles. Certainly those things apply. But I believe that the strongest thing that we can offer people in the kingdom of God is a thought pattern of the finish line of the Great Commission and the fact that we're representatives, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I'm not representing myself as much as I am representing the King to the earth. You know, Jim, I had an opportunity to come back from the gym, which is about 5 minutes away from my office early in the morning, and I heard the Lord speak to me. And it's a thought pattern, I think, maybe that all of us can embrace. And it was, I felt the Lord said, 90% of the people that you're going to pass by just on your way to the office have no idea what you consider to be normal.
That's
that
so
a
true.
God who loves us and who answers prayer and who is with us at all times, and he does the miraculous cool stuff. And that thought pattern that lives with me every single day is a foreign concept to 90% of the people that I'll pass. And every time I walk into a room, this thought pattern needs to hit us, and that is not of insecurity and weirdness, or it's life or the world or ministries about me. It's that every time I walk into the room, the King walks in the room with me.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere is about to change because Jesus is here.
Yeah. You know, I was just with Rob Koch recently, who's a good friend. A lot of them may know him. He pastors at Shoreline. And we traveled on the mission field 3 years together. And we were both talking about how so much of ministry, the things we give ourselves to in preparation and training, is about either the what or the how. What should I be doing? How should I be doing it better? And we both talked about how really we wish that we're both committed to this, spending more time on the who and the why.
Yes.
You know, who are we representing? That's what you were just saying. Who are we representing, and why are we doing what we're doing today? Because my heart comes alive when the who and the why is right.
That's so true. And there's hope for everybody, for me, because when I was felt directed to do what I'm doing, I don't think I would have ever called me. So it never was about Pat. But if God could do it for me, he could do it for anyone.
Yeah.
And I mean from stem to stern, from the presentation of the gospel all the way to partnership and ministry, it was such a big deal for me. And everything that I'm doing in leadership today is really inspired out of my own experience. And really, if God could do it for me, he could do it for anyone. And so let's just go make that clear. And the power of the gospel is, I think it was John MacArthur that actually said this, of all things, at a meeting with Jack Hayford. And he said this at a pastor's conference, never forgot it. He said, you don't have to defend the word of God. The word's like a lion. You just let him out. He knows how to take care of himself.
That's awesome. That's good.
And I thought, wow, what a great thing. You know, you get the word of God out there, but you have to deliver it in an authentic sort of a way. And I think the key to thinking as a leader is having that authentic connection with the master, with the king. And I get to take him everywhere I go. And so thank God for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And to my talk today, not to be underestimated, is the influence of listening to that inner voice for ministry purposes and realize I'm never going to be alone in ministry, so I'm not going to act like it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I always get the outline sent to me beforehand so that I can prepare myself to interview and to share things that I feel like will uniquely help. But I don't like to interrupt to the point that you don't get through your outline. So I want to let you get started, and I want you to you kind of talked a little bit about the first one about I love the Lord so. And boy, I tell you that I never knew this about you, but you were a bigger sinner than I was. And that took some doing. We sat over dinner, and of course we were both basketball players. But I didn't realize, man, I was a Catholic kid that needed somebody to help me. You really, church wasn't even on your radar as a kid.
Not really. I mean, I had that kind of an experience, but I wasn't a good one of those either. So
yeah, yeah.
I just honestly, I was just one of those guys that just didn't get it.
Well, your dad was a pastor, so yeah. I didn't know God could move a family so quick, so fast, you know?
I mean, well, my dad didn't come to Jesus until after I was 16.
Yeah.
So, we had a degree in sin, I suppose, if you can have one of those. But, and I watched the revolution take place in my whole family, and I thought, wow, Jesus must be for real if he can do that for my folks.
Awesome.
And, again, kingdom leadership kind of came out of my own experience. And the way that I lead, I just believe that there's billions and billions of people out there just waiting to hear what I heard in a way that I could catch it.
Yeah.
Not the religious version, but the authentic version, yes.
Yeah. So talk to us about thinking like leaders.
You know, Jack Hayford wrote a great book, and excuse my looking away, but it's called Life-Giving Leadership. And I would recommend that for everyone. Pastor Jack has made such a mark on the planet, if you're not acquainted with Dr. Hayford. But one of the chapters in his book was called Who Me? And I think leadership has that kind of component. Like, I didn't feel like I was the leader of anything. Matter of fact, I was in Bible school to learn the words so I didn't have to be in bondage anymore, not to be in ministry. And so my call to ministry was really just exploring the possibility and the power of the word to transform my life. And when I thought, well, if God can do this, he can do it for anyone, it was really a pathway for a thought pattern of let's affect more people with the gospel. And it led me into leadership. And so the who me concept was really pretty true and authentic to who I was. And so it's believing where God guides, he's going to provide. And so if he called me, he's got to equip me in this process. And Significant Church is really all about that. It's about providing that kind of equipping and leadership and support and, honestly, friendship that just doesn't go away. It's people that stick with you with a strong understanding of grace, not only for sinners coming to Jesus, but for ministers trying to find their way through leadership issues.
Yeah, we got to be postage stamp friends, right? We got to stick with them till we reach our destination.
We're in this together, and yeah. I feel that way very much with the Significant Church Network, and the leaders in this group, for everyone that's watching, are just the best friends that I have in the world. And if I have a problem, or matter of fact, 13 years ago, I had a motorcycle accident, and Jim Graff was one of the guys that came in over that 22 days of hospitalization and actually filled the pulpit for me when I needed him. And I'll never forget that, Jim. But it is the kind of network that we're a part of, not only leadership principles, which are great for all of us, very nutritional to our spiritual well-being, but it's also a support network that makes my life rich. And so all of us need that kind of a thing. And I needed it as a young minister because I had that who me kind of a concept. But you know, the Bible's full of who me's, and it's Moses. The fact that God speaks to him, he's not sure who he's speaking to. He says, "Here am I." And then when he finds out through a burning bush that he's talking to the Almighty, he says, "Who am I?" He says, "You're going to go, the task is to let my people go from Pharaoh." And he was looking like, "I don't have the equipment for that." And it's interesting that Moses tried this 40 years before this whole instance in his own strength and ended up murdering an Egyptian, and maybe even thinking that I've forfeited what I'm passionate about. I don't have an opportunity for that on the backside of the Midian Desert. And my calling and my life is over. But at the age of 80, God calls him back in, and the who me turns into a I'll be with you. And I think maybe the thought pattern of a leadership is dependence. And I think it's important for us to really be comfortable with the idea that I'm just not cool enough to call off a kingdom calling. It's never going to be the case. It's going to be the thought pattern of a leader is I'm not only depending upon God, but God is depending on me. Just to step up and say yes, and he provides the rest. You know, like Moses was thinking, okay, well, what talents do I have to pull this off? And God says, well, nothing, but I'm going to be with you. And there's the dependency factor for leadership. And David had the same thing going on, like, who am I, born of in the tribe and the family that I am, the least of the household of Jesse? Who am I to lead the people of God? And he had that who me thing. And, of course, we know the story of Moses and David. And then the flip side of that same coin, Jim, is you've got Elijah who's calling down fire from heaven and making a huge impact. Yet the book of James said he was a man of like passions like we are. So he's just like us.
Boy, that's
so I
good.
Guess that's there's hope for all of us in the dependency factor. You find your calling.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to know whatever room I walk into, I'm not walking in alone.
Yeah. Well, I think that what you just said, kind of what I'd like to do for some guys is just draw a circle in your mind. And at the core of the circle, I'd just like you to put God. And then beyond that circle, the next circle, I'd like you to put who, or you could put me if you want to. But God, then who am I? And then why? And then how? And then what? And of course, I saw your notes, and it's what spawned our conversation, my friend Rob, is that people spent so much time on the how and the what. And that's why some guys, honestly, they're at the point where they're thinking, man, if I can just get this church to the millennials, you know, I'm so old, there's a finish line out there. And I'm not saying everybody is saying that, but, you know, that'll start working in your soul if you're not careful. But if the God at the center stays strong, and if the who he made me to be stays strong, and if the why, like for me, the why of our church was, I want to build a church for the friends I went to high school with who didn't get God. That's who we're building it for. So when people try to make us be like other churches, hey, you could just go to L.A. and Rick Warren's church isn't like Jack Hayford's, and Jack Hayford's isn't like somebody else's. And there's all kind of churches. So I just couldn't pastor a church that wasn't me. So we had to do things the way that we did them. And you guys have the same, you know, the same issues. And then the why for Significant Church, well, whenever I was offered a church of a couple thousand in Arlington in my 30s, I could feel the God part, the core of me, say no. And the why is all of these small towns that God wants to do something great in 90 million people who would qualify as the 13th largest nation in the world if they were just considered on their own merit. So that who and that why, it's interesting. You're talking about Moses, and I mean, he says, I can't speak. And then you come to the book of Acts, and it says he was mighty in speech. So I wonder how many of us as pastors have been in that. People look at us and say, how do they talk like that? We look at ourselves like, do I got to get up again next Sunday and try to say something worthy, you know? And all the things that can work against that you just kind of hit on them, but comparing ourselves to others, looking at our gifts and feeling like we don't quite match up, trying to do something we're not even called to do. To me, all that happens whenever we get out in the what zone and the how zone too much. And we don't spend enough time in the God zone and the why zone in our life.
I think so too, Jim. You know, I think we could probably go to seminars and leadership tools and all those things. We could pack those kind of things in. But until the cause rises up on the inside of us, the who me, it never becomes faith in action. If somebody who's watching this right now has stepped into action, there's been a burning cause there. It's not the desire to be some sort of leadership. The compensation is not going to be good as it is in some major company somewhere for leadership, that's for sure. But the idea is that the cause has grabbed a hold of my life. And so suddenly, as you said, Jim, the who me concept is answered by God's response to us. And then I think we go from there to purpose. That my purpose depends on his power, not my own coolness, if you will. We want to teach how to not shoot yourself in the foot from a leadership standpoint. And Sig Church has done that for me in so many ways and for so many others as well. And so we want to make sure that our organization is not, again, shooting our own cause in the foot. But it's important that before we open the doors for anyone, that our heart is full, and it's full of the right stuff. Kingdom, I'm doing this for the King, and I'm not doing it alone, that dependency factor. And then suddenly purpose begins to emerge out of that, and I think it's important for all of us. I don't want to do a great work for God. I want to do a great work with God.
Good.
And wherever he's going, that's where I'm good. I didn't care what God called me to do, mission field or go to work and support missionaries. It really didn't matter to me. But I said to the Lord early on in my life, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. And that's really shaped the thought patterns for me of dependence upon God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, just keeping a heart full. And then from there, you get into that concept like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. I don't care what you want. As long as you make it clear, I want your word to come to pass
that's
in my
good.
Life. And I think that's humility's call to do great things. Again, some people have greatness thrust upon them. Leadership is thrust upon us. And I think the ability then to manage and to get help, like Moses had Aaron to help, and God called him alongside and anointed him to do that. I think all of us have that same sort of need in our life. And I think it's part of the kingdom principle of multiplication that people learn in circles more than they do in rows.
Yeah.
The Hebrew idea of discipleship was an idea of a circle that we teach at the feet of Gamaliel or the feet of whoever is the concept instead of the Greco-Roman sort of a pedagogical sort of a teaching in rows and looking at the back of someone's head. It was more the organic life experience of leadership. And I think that's what Jesus taught. And it's the reason why it makes so much sense to me, the fact that I'm never going to be apart from Emmanuel. And so I'm not going to act like it either.
Yeah.
And so it helps to shape what we do. And honestly, it makes discipleship in our churches a great deal more organic in nature. And then structure makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to get to that leadership within the church, more organic in nature, because when I looked at what we're sharing, I mean, really, when you talk about thinking like a leader, I loved your first point, which was, I love the Lord, so I love what he loves. And, you know, I think a lot of guys don't realize that our leadership call is to come out of just our prayer life. That yes. I've said this to my kids lots of times. I'd say, you know what God's thinking about? And they'd say, "What, Dad?" I'd say, "Not what you're thinking about. Trust me, because I would have never been where I am today if I was following the dictates of my mind or the emotions that I had. But through prayer, I walked into a life that was better than I ever dreamed I could really have." And it also started meeting the deeper desires that I had in my heart. Now, again, if we spend too much time on the what and the how out here, and we're all just trying to practice better, we lose touch with those kind of things, which is the who has God made me? Why do I feel the way I feel? And there's one thing that you can beat everybody in this world at, and that's being you. And when it comes out of your love for the Lord, and then pretty soon your love for Him, you start hearing Him talk to you about your unique mission. And then, Pat, your next point was that if you'll love the Lord, the mission will become clear, and then strategy forms. And this is where you really start helping the people in your church with their organic leadership, and I can't wait to hear that. Before we do, was there ever a time in your life where you found yourself working more on the what and the how, and you almost lost the who?
Yeah, very much so. And I think every leader goes through that a little bit. All of us really want to do what we're doing better. We want the efficacy of our vision and mission and process to be powerful and affecting more people's lives. But it has to be more about just filling up rows and population and attendance. You have to, I think, authentically care for the people that are actually filling the seats.
Yeah.
And when that's real, when that's true, when people really matter and they're not just making me more successful, but it's really, you know, I'm wanting to be more successful because I think the Great Commission has a number attached to it because God knows every person on the planet. But legitimate care and love for people that I felt from the Lord, I think is what everyone needs to be successful. And so the Apostle Paul said something in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says you have a treasure in an earthen vessel. So it's in the context of the preaching of the gospel and making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it says, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, how I'm living isn't possible for Pat by himself. There's a treasure in an earthen vessel. And so I want to share with you the treasures of my heart. And so my flesh matters very little, but what I've got, you really need. And it creates a flow of leadership that's just authentic and a true flow of life out of someone whom God's called, who's depending upon God to step number one. We all need that. Step number one is that I feel called, and then that the purpose begins to take over my life. It takes over the processes make sense because of my outcomes that I'm aiming at. I think it's important for every leader to have a vision that is up towards God and out. Smith Wigglesworth said it years ago that I want to live life with a capital L, and that is give unto God what is His due and then give unto men what is their need. And that vital connection upward makes my outward very effective.
That's good.
Without the up, there is no out. Matter of fact, it's never, in that scenario, if the up is not in place, it's all about this. And I'm always kind of measuring my success by how many there are in attendance on any given weekend, or how many people are online, or how many following me on Facebook or Twitter. And I think all of that's just Barney material. What I mean by that is, you know, it's just childish.
Well, you know what's interesting too, Pat, is that some people live vicariously through you as a pastor. Like your success becomes theirs. And I tell you, when I noticed that was when a minister would fall, and I would wonder why some people got hurt so bad. I mean, I was feeling when a minister would fall, I would feel for him and I would feel for his family. I wouldn't really feel for me. But then, as you know, I know that you've had a couple of times you've had to deal with this too, and you go in there, and some of these people really would get hurt. And I would be shocked that part of the reason they got hurt is they were actually living vicariously through the minister, that their significance in God was what the minister's ministry was accomplishing in their community. So when you said that, I was thinking that it's so important that we take our people to the point they're not living vicariously through us, they're living united to us, because Jesus is the head. He called the fivefold ministry gift, but Ephesians 4:16 says we're to grow because each part does its important work. And, you know, I feel bad when a church has to find a new head, but a head's not the body. you know, the head's not the body. And we can't let people live vicariously through us as pastors. And we can't even let them live vicariously through our church. You know, we live in a day when, hey, I buy the Dallas Cowboy t-shirt. And if they win the Super Bowl, I feel like a winner. If they lose the Super Bowl, maybe I feel like a loser. Well, my wife, she used to do something I love. The kids would play video games and they'd say, oh, I hit 3 home runs. And she'd say, you didn't hit nothing. That was just a video game, hit that home run. Dad's going to take you in the backyard and we'll see if you can hit a home run. And I think it's so important that we're not just talking about thinking like a leader for ourselves, but we're talking about now. And this is where your outline starts getting extremely, I loved it from the beginning because, you know, if you lose the who and the why, if you lose that I'm doing this for the Lord, how can anybody have a better job than you if you're doing it for him, you know?
Yes.
And then if the mission's clear and you know you're supposed to do this and he's with you, then there's supernatural accomplishment in your life and it becomes visible to people. And then, but this is where the strategy must match the desired outcome. So eventually, if we don't get the strategy, it's just talk, right?
That's exactly right. You know, and purpose comes alive in leaders. And as you said earlier, Jim, it takes on the unique aspects of every called man. Think about it just for a second. There are 12 followers of Jesus, and one of them didn't make it through the crucifixion to the resurrection, named Judas. But imagine all of them are called apostles of the Lamb, but imagine the different personality types there were among the 12. And yet all of them were called apostles, but the personality types were so different, which meant that the testimony of Jesus moved uniquely through each one of those leaders differently, but the impact was still the same. And so it's important for us when we pick up the purpose and the passions of God in our life that it is going to run uniquely through your life in a way that is very much Jeremiah 29 says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, pastor, to give you a hope and a future. And that future is tied to his connection to you and your dependence upon him. And suddenly the missional aspects of my calling and dependence on the Holy Spirit becomes something that he begins to work out through us in a very unique environment. My story will be significant. I think a leader needs to think that I'm not here to take up space and the Holy Spirit's not in me to take a ride. He's in there to make a difference. And through that, I think that there's a huge pathway. Jack Hayford said this, allow me to read this. God design not automatic programming a life of process that involves particular responses on our part as though somehow or another we go wheels down and then the heavenly wind just kind of blows us in any different direction. That's Jack Hayford. It's not an accident. Our leadership's not an accident. We didn't call ourselves. We're placed in a position with God that allows us to begin to say, okay, I'm going to move purposely towards the call of God. I know the outcomes that God wants. And it's not just to be a self-help section of my community, like a place in a bookstore. It's here not only to help people in their day-to-day lives, but to help them to understand that same purpose that I feel, that God in you is greater than he that's in the world, and being able to unpack that for people and allow them to wear leadership to what degree they're called of God to do it in their own communities, among their family for sure, but also in their place of business and work and their community, to step onto school boards, which I think is a huge thing in the day in which we live, to become an influence in our communities and to inspire our people to that kind of following and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely vital. And a pastor is the one that can inspire that sort of thing, that your story is going to be significant. Jim, I wrote down this story. I think most people probably know the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And it's a story about a fellow named George Bailey. Everybody's probably heard of George Bailey in this place called Bedford Falls. And he has a hard time in life, and he really gets depressed and wishes that he'd never been born. And he has the opportunity to look in that movie about what it would be like and how the society would be different if he was never born. And so he's given an angel named Clarence in the movie. It's a Christmas movie and so forth. And all of a sudden, he discovers what a dark place the world would be without an influence of a guy who just wants to do the right thing and out of character prefers the community above themselves. And the movie ends up, you know, a tremendous breakthrough. So it's been out since the 40s. And so spoiler alert, I guess, is okay. But it's important for us to realize that, like George Bailey, his impact on the world around him was more significant than he realized. And I think maybe especially pastors in rural settings, that they need to understand that what you're doing in sharing the light and the not only the success of a growing congregation, but just the fact that you walk in and change the atmosphere at the store that you shop at is a significant thing. It's not to be undone. I can tell you that if God can take a motorcycle accident in my life, and suddenly I have people from all over town that I've never met before, and when they hear my name, they'll say, "Aren't you that pastor that was in that accident?" And they've already heard the testimony of the breakthrough that God did in my life in a significant way, enough for them to recognize my name and associate a miracle with the fact that I'm standing in the same space with them.
Yeah.
And it's just a kingdom thing that says, I never walk away from my purpose. I live with it every single day.
Yeah.
And it's so organic to who we are that when we get up in our pulpits and share those life experiences in the Word of God, our thought patterns just kind of go to a very organic place. And it makes what we're teaching very wearable as people walk out the door, being a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. And I think it's significant, especially to pastoral leadership in a community where you're going to live and you're going to shop at the same place that they do and so forth, and then raise up leaders to think of themselves as that as they're walking through the community, not just when they're at church, but while they're doing the course of their life. And I think it's important for a leader to think. Matter of fact, Jim, I had a memory that occurred to me on my way into this morning. We were doing a leadership meeting, one of our national conferences, which, by the way, we want everybody to come to, and we'll say more about that later. But we were in Tulsa, and we were having a panel discussion, and somebody asked in the crowd, how can I become a great leader? I think was the way that the question was formed. And I started thinking about it as I'm on this panel with all kinds of things. I felt like Gomer Pyle at the Officers Club, being among those great leaders. But as we were thinking about it, I thought, I know exactly what I would say to that question. It didn't come to me, and I enjoyed the answers that we got. But I think the way to be a great leader and a great pastor is just to be a phenomenal Christian, an extremely connected believer, and allowing that to be the win for you. Because when that becomes the win for you, it really becomes the win for everybody in your congregation. Suddenly, winning isn't being some significant person standing on a platform, but somebody who lives with a king every day. And that's a different definition from a lot of the religious models that I've seen. I want to make an impact for the king, and I want my wife to love me at the end of the day.
I
think ultimately, Jim and your family is so, I mean, they're wrapped so tight and so cool. And you love each other, and it's in a significant thing. Well, those are the kinds of things that I look for in a leader. Obviously, you're affecting the entire county, so the level of leadership you're walking in at this point is such an inspiration to so many.
Well, you know what I did with our kids when they were in high school? Is I would just drive around our city with them, and I'd say, okay, look at the hospital, look at the schools, look at the church, look at the different things, and ask yourself, which one of these speak to me? Because I wasn't, like you said, I'm called to ministry. I had other plans to use my gifts other ways whenever Jesus called me, but Jesus called me to be in ministry. But when I did that, it helped the kids begin to realize that, like Moses, they had a unique something in them. Now, of course, Jeffrey said, I feel called the Dairy Queen Dad. He wanted to go get a Dairy Queen, you know, and now he preached for me last Sunday. He's doing a great job, and God's called him to pastor. But there's just something in us as leaders, and this is for me, I've waited to this point in the webinar, and I couldn't wait to say this today, is that it's so much more fun. We had our Heart for the House, you know, had 200 plus leaders here last Sunday night, and it's so much fun to lead with your people and not to just be taking care of a bunch of babies on a Sunday morning. It's such a joy to do that. And they all have a unique call within them that we want to nurture, and we want to work together as a body, because how we're knit together, man, if we have a bunch of good leaders in the church, we can help people a lot of different ways. But I remember that early in the leadership development process of Faith Family Church, that again, it's so easy to get lost in the what and the how on the outside. And you're putting systems in. And I know for our church, when we started our church, again, the big why in my heart was build a church for the people you went to school with who don't understand God. And when our church was different than it was before, we had a pastor for 10 years in our church that it had plateaued at 200, he led different than I did. And I just had to tell people, I'm trying to follow the why in my heart. Well, when people started getting saved and the church turned into what it is, then people say, oh, I get it. I get it why God had to do it different. And not everybody stays, because some people really like that other model that was different than the one I was leading with. But when they come together and you have a group of leaders, now you have what Jesus was talking about in the book of Revelation when he said to some people, I'll make you a pillar in the house of your God. Wow. You know, we have 300 pillars in this building I'm sitting in right now. And if you took one of the pillars out, that part would crumble. So for me, if I lose a leader, the ministry shuts down, because yes. I can't keep a part of the building open that doesn't have a pillar to support it. And so if we look at our people that way and say, what is it God put in them to build the kingdom stronger in our community? God starts doing great things. Now, I'll never forget Larry Stockstill was coming to speak for me, and he said, well, what's on your heart? And I said, well, we're getting ready to launch a leader's emphasis. Would you speak on leadership? And he did something so cool. He brought a guy with him who had led a small group for like 20-some years in the life of his church. And this guy was formerly hooked on drugs. And while Larry's talking to our people about being a leader, he has this guy stand up, because in his small group, and I can't get the numbers exact now, but something like 38 people had come off drugs in this guy's small group over 20 years. And wow. He started talking about what that meant to their families, what that meant to extended family, the kingdom impact that had. And again, that was one of the things, Pat, I was so excited about on your outline today, is when we were talking leadership, you weren't on the what and the how, although we know that's important, but you were talking about the who. What's Jesus talking to you about? What is it that when you walk out in the city, you just can't say no to it? It matters too much to you. And then form a strategy, and then the what and the how really matter, but just the strategy tools to accomplish the why that the who put on the inside of your heart. You know who you are, and you know who put what's in your heart in there. And ministry just becomes so fulfilling. And I really believe right now that the body of Christ, obviously everybody knows we're at a tipping point, right? The soul of America is sick. Something has to happen. But I don't think it can happen from the pulpit alone. I think it's going to happen through what we talk about, though, that as authentic leaders in churches rise up together and they say, this is my city. These are my neighbors. Those are, man, those kids on drugs, I'm adopting them. We're loving them. We're gonna have enough ministries in this church to make a huge difference. That's when things really, really get powerful. Now, we just have about 15 minutes left. And so if you have questions, feel free to put those in the chat room. But Pat, you talked about two other things. You said we have to have two different strategies. Once we know who's asking us to do it and why we're doing it and we have our strategy down, you said there's two processes you have to manage. Help us with that.
You know, so allow me to, I want to do that. And let me say this before you get away from what you just said, because John Maxwell had a secretary named Eileen back in the day, and she handed him a book early on in his life at his first pastorate. And this was the story. Eileen handed him a book, and it said the greatest story ever told on the front of the book. And so John, very excited to find out what that story was all about, opened it up, and every page was blank. And Eileen told him, if I can paraphrase what she said, John, make your life count. Write the greatest story ever told with the way that you live.
Wow.
And it wasn't so much information out of a book. It was about making your life count, about being significant in the lives of whoever it is that comes by today. At the end of a lifetime, it's a multitude of people. And so so important for us. There's a Popeye moment that has to happen in me. I got that from Bill Hybels once upon a time, but everybody needs a Popeye moment. And it's the Popeye quote is, "I've had all I can stands and I can't stands no more."
Yeah.
And it's that kind of a thing. What is it that you cannot abide? Is there something that just gets to you down on the inside of you? And that's purpose. That when you see, it could be a justice mandate. It could be all, so when you see injustice happening, something just gets all over you. And it's important that you recognize that that's really part of the purpose of leadership, is to identify those things. And because God puts it on the inside of you so that you can make a difference in leadership and lead a movement, not just a calling, but lead a movement. And that's really the key for every pastor, is not just to entertain the saints on Sunday morning, but to mobilize them. Yeah. And in the mobilization of all of that, the cause becomes contagious.
Well, you just said something so important, and that is, if our people come to be entertained, they're missing out on the fact that this is a house of prayer for all nations. This isn't a comedy club. This isn't an education center. So if you just like deep truth, well, great. You know, I mean, certainly it's an education place. It's a teaching place. But it's a house of prayer for all nations. And what good church did for me, and what good church will do in any of our churches, if people understand this, is it'll cause your temple to be a house of prayer. It'll cause you to connect to God in ways that God starts fulfilling dreams that He wasn't fulfilling in your life. And we don't entertain the saints. We nurture the saints. We nurture them into the person that God knew they could be, and the person that He knew that they could become. And then part of that is the blessing of Abraham. His blessing comes upon them because they're nurtured, and they bless the world in their own unique way because they're nurtured. And that's what I love doing as a pastor. If someone puts a big entertainment demand on me, my why isn't big enough for that. I didn't go in to be a comedy club speaker. You know, of course we all want to be entertaining, good and all that. But if somebody wants to grow a great life, man, my why is huge for that.
You know, and I've seen it, and unfortunately probably more than I ever would care to, but all of us have seen folks that are really great in the pulpit but don't care about people when they walk off the platform.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't have much time for that. And I'm thankful for the impact that anybody can make for the cause of Christ, and the Apostle Paul said as much. But I think it's important for us to understand the significance of our life, not just of our vocation. And so I had a guy, we're building a dream center in downtown Dayton. So the epicenter for drug fatalities in my city is right in the Dream Center neighborhood where we're building it right now. And I had a guy who was raised, and it's important to maybe understand, this guy is a drug dealer, but at the age of 8, his mother made him go to the streets and sell drugs to support her.
Yeah.
And so this is a guy whose background is different than maybe being raised on the farm. And so his name is John, and we feed him every Saturday. And so right standing out in front of the Dream Center under construction, we had a foundation for a tower that's being built on the back of the building for an entrance to the building. 115-year-old church building, 35,000 square feet of fixer-upper. And so as I'm standing outside, and he looks at the building and he says, "Wow, you guys are spending a lot of money down here." And I look back at John and I told him, I said, "Well, John, we think you're worth it."
Good.
And the look on his face, I will never forget. Like, first of all, no one's ever thought of me in those terms, and no one says that to us down here. Because of the amount of finances it's taking to make all of that happen. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, this is what I was born for.
Yeah.
On a sidewalk, talking to John about how significant that he is. And so I could say the same thing about every one of us that are watching right now, leader or no leader. But I this is what I know about our Heavenly Father. And this is what we started our church with, Jim. I've told you this, of course, many times. But 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. That God will raise the beggar from the dust and the poor from the ash heap to set them among princes, that they may inherit the throne of glory. Now, let me tell you what 1 Samuel 2:8 is. It is the largest social transformation that the scripture talks about on this planet. It is the biggest movement from ash heap to setting among princes and inheriting the throne of glory. It is the greatest transformation. And so our process has everything to do with seeing that scripture fulfilled in the lives of people. And it starts with the premise that I was significant enough for the Savior of the world to come and die in my place and then rise from the dead to do the journey with me. Now, if that's all you've got as a pastor, you have got the basis to win in every life that you will ever encounter. And I think the fact that we can then take the key of God's word and begin to unlock the things that God has hidden on the inside of them, like a drug dealer named John, who one of these days is going to be a deacon in the church campus of Living Word Berkeley.
There we go.
I mean, that's what wakes me up in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, do you remember E.V. Hill?
Oh,
yes.
Remember
Pastor E.V.? God can take anybody from the guttermost to the uttermost. I can hear him in my mind's eye. But, you know, he grew up just not far from here in Columbus, Texas, about an hour away.
Yeah.
And and he was the poorest of the poor. Somebody got hold of him just like that. He built a great church in Texas, went to L.A. and broadcast to the world. Took those kind of guys, and a church developed to broadcast to the world because somebody got a hold of what you're talking about today. That, I mean, Jesus looked at little E.V. and said, you want to work for a dollar an hour the rest of your life, or do you believe I've created you to be somebody? And he got saved, and he fought like a tiger to become who he became. And then he decided he wasn't just going to become something himself. He's going to help a whole lot of folk become something. And it always touched me. He said he always had cash in his pocket because no one was going to go home hungry after his service. So if they needed to eat something, he just would give them money. But he had a unique call on his life. And
he sure did.
You know, Pat, we do this a lot like lunch. I like people to feel like you and I are at lunch and we all got to sit and talk together. And I like pastors to feel stronger and wiser and sharper because we spent this hour together. And I love what we focused on today because I think a lot of guys are going to go back to their prayer closet and say, I'm going back to the who. I'm his, who God is, who he made me to be, the why of my life, and I'm gonna begin, you know, really functioning that way. My good friend David Swan would use an illustration. I remember he would put his two wings out, and he would say, the sonship wing and the leadership wing. And he said early, his first 10 years, he understood the sonship wing, but he didn't understand the leadership wing, and he couldn't rise and he couldn't fly. And I think maybe if we're not careful now, we've done so good with the leadership wing that we have to strengthen that sonship wing a little bit more, you know? You know, so that's what we're talking about. But then ultimately, you say we have to have a strategy, and we have to have two different strategies. Would you talk about that, Pat, before we close today?
You know, each one of us need to have a personal growth component in each one of our lives. Our up and out component has to do with the significance of the work that God has done on the inside of us. And that's fully contagious to the people that are around us. And it's the call to leadership, to take what God authentically puts on the inside of you and transfer that to as many as you can and to empower people, not for one pastor to inspire 10,000 people, but for one pastor to inspire 10 who inspires 10 who inspires 10. And so it's important for you to have a significant strategy, but the authenticity of the way that that moves through our lives is dependent upon the value that we put on the people we're sowing into. And so I think it's extremely important within a biblical model and a framework that the law of buy-in is something that people get because we value them. It's not just, I'm the leader, you listen. It is, you're a valuable friend in my life and I see greatness that maybe no one else sees, kind of like David. I see that greatness on the inside of you, and I want to help to unearth that. I want to challenge your own boundaries, and I want to give you the confidence and the training that helps you to win. And so it's important for all of us to realize that what God's done in each one of us, he wants to do in the lives of other people, and to contain it for whatever reason. It could be egocentric or insecurity, and both sides of those things are equally wrong. And so it's important for us to know, for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the Christian faith, is the reason why they stuck that cross, that climbing off the Mayflower to dedicate America. And so wherever it happens to be, wherever you're watching this in the world, it's the same level of courage. I'm on a journey with God, and it requires courage and bravery of me. I don't know how much courage it took to take moving out of the Lakewood environment for Pastor Jim and Tamara to end up going to Victoria, Texas to do what they've done down there. But I can tell you that the people around Victoria, Texas, and the surrounding county are extremely glad that what was ever on Jim and Tamara Graff was contagious, and that they were able to structure themselves to make sure that the church had an authentic love in it. And I'm telling you, having been there to Victoria, as soon as you walk in the door, you feel loved, and the place is enormous. But you feel the love, the real sincere connection. And I think it's important for all the pastors and all the leaders that are watching this, no matter what size your church is, to endeavor to do that, creating the kind of atmosphere that only the love of God can really create.
Yeah, I think what you said was so good, Pat. I heard a church put it this way, and I've adopted it, and at times I even write it down, but this really helped me, is they use just capital letters, I-C-N-U. I-C-N-U. See, I see in you. So when you talk about the two strategies, the invitation strategy and the equipping strategy, when I was a young believer, I didn't see a pastor in me. I saw a coach, I saw a business leader, I saw an attorney, I saw some other things I thought I could be, but I didn't really see a pastor in me, even though in my high school, 6 out of 7 guys in the basketball team started approaching a walk with God after I got saved the first year. You know, they all became interested. And I remember I was on the baseball field at ORU, I was on the team at that time, when the Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't bring you here to play baseball. I brought you here to do what you started doing in high school, which is bringing people to me. And I felt so not qualified because Bible survey was my hardest class. I didn't those king's names, how in the world was I ever going to spell those king's names on a test? But what the Lord put in me is, because I really said, I said these words in my heart to the Lord. I said, Lord, there's 300 guys on this campus I would call to be a pastor before I called me. And I literally said that to him. And I heard these words back. They know the word better than you, but they don't know the world better than you. And I've graced you to talk in a way that people come and get interested in God. And I want to use that in your life.
Yes.
And those are precious moments, and we've all had them. If I were to sit and talk with any pastor, we've had those moments. And God wants us to be who we're called to be, live with a strong why, develop strategies to bring the word to pass. And then he wants us to bring other people in where we say, I see in you, and I want to equip you. I didn't think I could be who I am today. So now let me help you be who you're called to be too. And boy, that's when leadership development becomes fun, right?
It really is. And so to your point, those two strategies both point to the same direction. One's an equipping of leadership and the spreading of those things authentically, empowering people to do what they do well. But when we do gather, our gathering strategy has everything in the world to do with our sending strategy. And if you feel love here, they'll carry it out the door. If it's rather clinical and kind of hard and unfriendly and all those sorts of things, people have a hard time making connections in their own callings during the course of the week or the presence of God or whatever those things. And so you have to equip folks with the right stuff and the people that are around you in leadership to carry leadership spirit or the spirit of the Lord. Or, you know, love never fails. If it doesn't look like love, it's probably not God. But it's important to carry that culture. But again, we've taught this a lot, and I've heard it from so many great people. Actually, the last three sessions have been such a blessing in my life with Mark Harrell and Steve Mansfield and John Nuzzo. Such great sessions that we've had in the webinar. But all of this in a time of crisis is probably more important than any other in our lives, and that is to carry the authentic into the services, to answer questions that people are asking, but it's the temperature in which we'll answer those questions that are probably more important than what we're saying.
Yeah.
And it is, I'm not freaking out in fear. I'm not hiding in a bomb shelter. As a matter of fact, I'm finding now, and we've had so many amazing emotional experiences for us as we've touched people that are in absolute dire straits because of the lockdowns and because of the different things. And the people that are most vulnerable have been the most affected by all of this that's going on. And I've told our church, listen, there's never been a more of a time for us to engage the community, because the community is calling for help right now. And so if I'm hiding, they're not getting help. And we've just had some amazing, amazing things. And people have started turning up in our church because we're having live services. They've been turning up just because not only we're having church, but we're making a difference in the community that we're in.
Yeah.
And they're hearing that call and engaging in a way maybe that we didn't even do before COVID.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you guys, I can't believe my time is up and they just spoke in my ear, because I've totally loved this talk. And if anybody's in the Vandalia area, which is the Dayton area, Pat does exchanges. And I'm telling you, when I walk into his church, it's a group of people who love their pastor and love each other. And it's really unique. It's amazing how there's a supernatural unity that comes there by valuing the right things that you feel. So anyway, I just encourage you, can go on our website and you can find those exchanges. But this is how we're going to go ahead and close. I'm just going to say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Man, love you guys. Knock it out of the park this weekend. Great being with you.